In Jonah chapter 1, I want to read the first six verses in Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and he was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Let's take a moment to pray once again. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word is powerful. It's very relevant to our lives. It's something that will speak if we'll allow it to do that tonight. I just pray the Holy Spirit would guide me and give me words to speak and Lord, to be able to challenge with the truth that you have given us here in this passage of Scripture. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts and lives tonight. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I'm sure that everyone here tonight is pretty familiar with this story of Jonah. You probably heard it in Sunday school when you were in kid, you probably read it in your Bible reading time, but tonight I want to focus on verse 6. That's going to be our text tonight, and I've entitled this, Wake Up, Sleeping Christian. You know, just to kind of go back and see that the word of the Lord, he came to Jonah, and in these verses we see that instead of going to Nineveh, Jonah went the opposite direction. He went from the presence of the Lord, the Bible says. And I want you to kind of realize, and this is an Old Testament dispensation, and the temple was the place of God's presence. That was the place where they went to worship. That was the place where they brought their offerings to God. And so I want you to think of it in that sense, because you know, for us today, we have the presence in us. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit in you. But in this sense, the presence of the Lord was there with his people there at the temple. And he went away, he fled from the presence of the Lord. And it said he went down to Joppa. You know, I tell you what, that's usually what happens when you go from the presence of the Lord. You're going to go downhill. It's never progress when you go from the presence of the Lord. And it says, But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest so that the ship was like to be broken. So we know this story very well. And we see that God brought this storm. And it's a fearsome storm. It's very fierce. And they're being tossed about and about to perish. And here in verse, the thought that God put on my heart tonight is there in verse 6. The shipmaster said to him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And the thought that the Lord's put on my heart as I was reading and studying this today was this. Does the lost world have the right to ask the same question of us today? What meanest thou, O sleeper? What meanest thou, O sleeper? You know, if we consider this story, we can see that as these, all the sailors on this ship, they were, every man's hand was at work, working to throw some of the wares off the ship. They were trying to save the ship. They were doing everything they could. They were even crying out to their gods, praying. And the one man that could have been the solution to all this problem was asleep. The one man that served the one true and living God was asleep. The Bible says not just asleep, but it says in verse 5 that he was fast asleep. Think about that. While this ship was being tossed about by these waves, while these men were crying out, I'm sure they were screaming, they were crying out for their lives, they were praying, they were hollering for men to help and throwing these wares off, and all this time Jonah was asleep. And I want to ask this question, are we not like Jonah sometimes? When we think about the lost world around us and the danger that the lost world around us is in, and here we are fast asleep. And I'm speaking in the sense of spiritual sleep. We can be in a spiritual slumber and be numb to the needs of the people around us. You know, sometimes this is sad, but sometimes it's just like right here in this story that the world has more compassion for the needs of those that are perishing than Christians themselves. You know, we can see that the world has such compassion for physical suffering. There's volunteers out there that are working for all these charity organizations. There's government agencies out there. All these people that do not even know God. They do not even believe in heaven and in hell. And they're out there working, serving, trying to help relieve some of the suffering of the physical needs of people in our world. And yet here we are as Christians knowing the spiritual needs around us and not even having compassion. You know, some of the people out there in the world, they can have more concern to try to help a dog that's dying than we have for a dying soul going to hell. I mean, that's the sad truth, folks. I mean, as I preach this tonight, I'm preaching to myself. I'm trying to stir you up. I want God to stir me up to realize that we need to wake up and look out there and see the needs of people around us. You know, if you were driving home after church tonight and you were coming down through your neighborhood and you saw a house on fire, one of your neighbor's houses was on fire, and as you drove by and you saw their son, little boy, looking out the window helpless, would you just keep driving by or would you stop? I'm sure most every one of us would stop, wouldn't we? We would stop. We would be calling 911. We would be doing everything we could to help get that boy and his family out of that house. And if we saw that house on fire, we would stop and do something about it. I'm sure most of us would. We wouldn't just keep driving and thinking somebody else will help them. We would stop knowing that our neighbor was about to perish. But why is it that we, knowing the spiritual realities of people's souls, that we don't stop to help them and give them the gospel? We know of the love of God. We know of the hope of heaven and the horrors of hell. But yet, oftentimes, like Jonah, we're fast asleep. Fast asleep. How is it that we can be so careless about the souls of men and women and children around us? To answer that question tonight, I want to look at what caused Jonah to be numb to the needs of the perishing around him. What caused him to go to sleep? I want to just give you a couple of simple things. It's not going to be complex tonight. It's very simple. Number one, disobedience to God's word. What caused Jonah to be numb to the needs around him? It was disobedience to God's word. The Bible says in verse 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. God came to him in a personal way. God spoke to him in a personal calling. And just like each of us as Christians, many times we sit in church or we get in our Bible and we start reading the Bible, or we get around other Christians, we start fellowshipping with them, and God speaks to us in a personal way. I'm sure it happens to every one of us. If you're saved, now if you're not saved, that's not going to be true unless God's maybe speaking to you about salvation. But for Christians, God speaks to us through His Word, does He not? Many times we hear the word of the Lord. We hear God speaking to us in a personal way. He's dealing with us about something we need to do, but oftentimes we are disobedient to that. God speaks to us and we, just like Jonah, we flee from the presence of the Lord. There's no anesthetic that can knock you out like this sin of disobedience. Disobedience will cause you to be numb. It'll cause you to go to sleep spiritually. It'll cause you to not care about people around you and that are perishing and dying in their sins. I believe it was this sin of disobedience that caused Jonah to be numb to the needs of the perishing around him. And it's true of us too. When we disregard the Word of God and live in disobedience, we're going to be numb. We're not going to be caring about people in their lost condition. But there's a second thing I see in these verses, and that's a departure from God's fellowship. A departure from God's fellowship. You know, Jonah, he fled from the presence of the Lord. I want to just say that it's a lot easier for us as Christians to stay awake spiritually if we're around God's people. It's easier for us to stay awake spiritually if we are walking in fellowship with God. I mean, that's the truth. We're gonna be more conscious of people around us and their lost condition. We're going to be more inclined to give them the gospel. We're going to have more of a desire to give out that gospel tract if we're walking in the presence of the Lord. But it's when we disobey God's words, it's when we get away from the fellowship of God. You know, we can be in church and be out of fellowship. We can come to church just out of duty. We can just come because that's a habit of ours or just because it's the thing we're supposed to do, and yet be out of fellowship with God. Because we can come in church and just turn our ears off, not listen, or listen and not do anything about it. We can go home and not pray, not read our Bible, not think about the Lord until we come back to church Sunday. Amen. And it's when we depart from God's fellowship that we begin to doze off spiritually. We begin to go to sleep. We begin not to care about our neighbor who's perishing. We don't care about that lady that checks us out at the grocery store. We don't care about that coworker at work like we should. We don't care about that family member that's lost. Oh, we may think about them time to time, but we are spiritually asleep when we go away from the Lord. And you know, Satan, I want to tell you tonight, one of the ways he can get victory is to lull God's people to sleep. I mean, think about it. Satan, he knows he can't have our soul. He knows he can't send us to hell. I mean, we are saved. Those of us that are saved, we're secure in our salvation, and Satan knows that. But he also knows that if he can cause us to go to sleep, that other people won't get saved. You know, the sad truth is, you know, God can save anyone, but he's not going to save anyone without us witnessing to him. Amen. I mean, that's the truth. Unless we give them a gospel tract, unless we invite them to church, unless we sit down with them and talk to them about Christ, they're probably not going to get saved. I mean, we can pray, yes, but that neighbor that's lost down the street, listen, they're not going to get saved unless we do something. You know, that's what Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, He called his disciples. He said, "Come ye after me, and I'll make you fishers of men." That was the very beginning of his ministry. What was it about? It was about making and training people to be fishers of men. And then at the very end of his ministry, what did he do? "Go ye therefore, teach all nations." At the very beginning and end of his ministry is all the same. It's about his people being witnesses, about his people going and sharing the gospel with others. "But ye shall receive power," he said, "after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." Witnesses. That was the one thing, witnesses, that he called us to do. And that was for every Christian. That wasn't just for pastors or missionaries. It's for every Christian to be a witness. And Satan, if he can get us to fall fast asleep, then he's won a great victory, because people will still be lost in their sins. But how is it that we can continue in slumber when we know the great white throne judgment is looming ahead? I preach Sunday morning on the book of life and how important it is. If your name's not in that book, there's no way you can enter into heaven. Amen. We know that great white throne judgment's coming. It's looming ahead in the future. And we need to make a difference. God's called us. Just like he's called Jonah, "I want you to arise and go." Well, he wants us to arise and go. He's got a place for us to go. He's got a person that he wants us to go to. What's the answer? What's the answer to our spiritual slumber? I want you to notice verse 6 again. "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" Notice this next word here. "Arise. Call upon thy God." What's the answer to our slumber? How can we get out of our spiritual slumber? He says here, "Arise, wake up, get busy." That's how we do it. Just to wake up and get out there and get busy doing what God's called us to do. You know, Matthew 9, Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." There's so much work to be done. There's so many souls that need to be reached that not just one of us can reach them all, not just a few of us. It's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of us doing our part. I want you to look in the Bible, if you would, Romans 13, the New Testament to Romans 13. In verse 11, Romans 13, 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He says that our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Christ is coming. I mean, just start looking at the events going on around the world. Look at what's going on in Israel. Just look and see. The time is near. The time is near. I mean, just like that. In twinkling of an eye, we could be taken up. Just like that. The time is nearer than when we believe. He said, the night's far spent. What does that mean? You know, we're living in an evil world. We're living where the night has been far spent. It's a dark world in which we live. And he says here that the day is at hand. What is he talking about? The day of Christ. The day of the millennial kingdom. The day when he reigns on earth. That day is at hand, he says. So we need to cast off. So we need to wake up, cast off those works of darkness, put on the armor of light. What's interesting is light here is viewed as armor. You know how we can stand against the devil and his attacks upon us is to walk in the light. To walk in the light of God's Word. Just to be obedient to the Lord and His Word. It's like armor to us. It will protect us. It's when we're not walking in the light that we're exposing ourselves to Satan's attacks. That we're going to be vulnerable if we are not walking in the light. I want to share a testimony. My wife was, I wish we were able to do it Sunday nights, have testimonies from the ladies who went to the retreat, but I'm hoping to do that soon. But anyway, my wife was sharing about a lady she met in Clovis and from the church there at Westbrook Baptist Church. And this lady told my wife, she said she worked as a checker at the grocery store. And she said the pastor's wife, Miss Tunnel, would come, and every week that she would go grocery shopping, she would purposely go to her checkout. And every week, give her a track. And this lady said that I had a stack of tracks like this at home. I mean, think about that. And that means that it didn't take just one or two or three. I mean, she said she had a stack of them. She finally got saved. You know, that's what we're talking about here tonight. You know, having that burden, you know, just for someone that's maybe, an acquaintance, but maybe not a real close friend, but somebody we see at the grocery store every week or at work or the gas station or wherever, simple as giving them a track. Because you may not have the opportunity to share the gospel right there. But give them a track. You know, anybody can do that. You know, most reason why Christians don't witness is because fear. We're afraid. We're afraid maybe rejection. We're afraid we won't know what to say. But you know what? I found that once you break that ice and God starts taking over, it's the fear leaves. It's really not that hard. It's just a matter of obedience, trusting the Lord, and just go out and, you know, I do believe in it's good for people to be trained. Christians need to be trained, on-the-job training. That'd be great. If you want to be trained, come out to a grow at night, and we'll get somebody hooked up with you and train you. As I was thinking about the testimony my wife shared with me, it reminded me of a story that I remember years ago hearing about this story. So I Googled it and I found it. And It's on a lot of websites because it's a true story. It's a very, very powerful story. And I want to close with this story. And it's quite long. It's 3 pages. But I should be able to share it in 5 minutes. But it's a story about this pastor in London. And this was back in the 50s, okay, early 50s. And so this story is taking place from the early 50s spreading out to, I believe, 1977. So that's the time frame. And this Baptist pastor by the name of Francis Dixon of the Lansdowne Baptist Church in Bournemouth, England, he began hearing some of these testimonies. God began to, different places he went, he began to hear some of these unique testimonies that he shared his story. And that's what I'm sharing with you, this pastor's story. And he goes on to say that it started out in a Baptist church he was preaching in Crystal Palace in southern London. And the Sunday morning service was closing, and there was a stranger at the back of the church who raised his hand and said, "Excuse me, pastor, can I share a testimony?" So the pastor looked at his watch and said, "You got 3 minutes." And so this man proceeded, and he said, "I just moved in this area, and I used to live in another part of London, and I came from Sydney in Australia. And just a few months back, I was visiting some relatives, and I was walking down George Street when a strange little white-haired man stepped out of a shop doorway, and he put a pamphlet in my hand and said, 'Excuse me, sir, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven?'" And this man said that he was astounded by those words, and nobody had ever asked him that question before. And so he thanked him courteously, and he went on to the airport to go back to London. And when he got back, he called a friend that he had in London, and thank God he said, he went on his testimony, said that thank God he was a Christian and he led me to Christ. And he said, "Now I'm a Christian." And so the Baptist pastor, this Baptist pastor, he flew later the next week. He actually went to Australia himself. He was preaching in Adelaide. And while he was preaching, there's this woman that came after the service to see him for counseling. And so he asked her where she stood with Christ. And she said, "Well, I used to live in Sydney. And just a couple of months back, I was visiting friends there, doing some last-minute shopping down George Street. And a strange little white-haired man, an elderly man, stepped out of a shop doorway, and he offered me a pamphlet, and he said, 'Excuse me, ma'am, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven?'" And she said, I was deeply disturbed by those words, and I went back to Adelaide, and I knew this Baptist church that was on the next block from me, and I sought out the pastor, and he led me to Christ, and so, sir, I'm telling you that I am a Christian. And so by this point, the pastor he's like amazed that just in a week's time, he had heard two stories, one while he was in London and one while he was preaching in Australia. And both of those people were led to Christ, or they came to Christ as a result of some obnoxious, white-haired old man that gave them a tract and said, "Are you saved? Do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven?" Well, this ain't the end of this. His testimony. He goes on, and he flew from there, and he went to Perth, Australia, and he preached at the Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. And when his series of preaching was over, the senior elder of that church took him out for a meal, and so this pastor asked him, said, "How did you become a Christian?" And that pastor in Perth said, "Well, I grew up in this church from the age of 15, and he said, "Never made a commitment to Jesus, just hopped on the bandwagon like everyone else. And because of my business ability, I grew up to a place of influence. And I was on a business outing in Sydney just 3 years ago, and an obnoxious little man stepped out of a shop doorway, offered me a religious pamphlet, and accosted me with a question, 'Excuse me, sir, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven?' And he said, I tried to tell him I was a Baptist elder, but he wouldn't listen to me. And he said, I was seething with anger, and I went all the way home to Perth, and I told my pastor, thinking he would sympathize, but my pastor agreed with the man. He said he had been disturbed for years, knowing that I didn't have a relationship with Jesus, and he was right. And my pastor led me to Jesus 3 years ago. Now, this London pastor, he flew back to the UK, and he was speaking at the Keswick Convention in the Lake District, and he threw in these three testimonies. He shared them at this convention, and at the close of it, there were four pastors, elderly pastors, that came up and said, we got saved between 25 and 30 years ago through that little man on George Street giving us a track and asking us that question. He then flew the following week to a similar convention in the Caribbean for missionaries, and he shared these testimonies. At the close of the session, three missionaries came up and said, we got saved between 15, 25 years ago through that little man's testimony, and asking us the same question on George Street in Sydney. Then he returned to Atlanta, Georgia, and he went to speak at a naval chaplains convention, and the pastor spoke to over 1,000 Navy chaplains, and the chaplain general took him out for a meal and he asked, of course, how he became a Christian. The chaplain said, well, I was living a reprobate life on a U.S. battleship. We were doing exercises in the South Pacific, and we docked in Sydney Harbor to replenish. And we hit the King's Cross with a vengeance. I got blind drunk. I got on the wrong bus, got off in George Street. As I got off the bus, I thought it was a ghost. This elderly white-haired man jumped in front of me, pushed a pamphlet in my hands and said, sailor, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven? He said, the fear of God hit me immediately. I was shocked sober, and I ran back to the battleship, sought out the chaplain, and the chaplain led me to Christ, and I soon began to prepare for the ministry under his guidance, and now I'm in charge of over 1,000 chaplains, and we're bent on soul winning today. Well, this London pastor, 6 months later, I'm telling you, the story's going on. Now, I'm not making this up. This is a true story. He flew to a convention of 5,000 missionaries in remote northeastern India. And at the end, the host took him home for a simple meal. And the pastor asked, how did you as a Hindu come to Christ? He said, well, I was in a very privileged position. I worked for the Indian diplomatic mission. I traveled the world. And my bout of diplomatic service took me to Sydney. And I was doing some last-minute shopping, walking down George Street, when this little white-haired man stepped out in front of me and offered a pamphlet and said, excuse me, sir, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven? And he said, I thanked him very much, but this disturbed me. I got back to my town. I sought out the Hindu priest, and he couldn't help me. And so I went to talk to this missionary to satisfy my curiosity. And that was, and he said, that day the missionary led me to Christ. He said, I quit Hinduism immediately, began to study for the ministry. I left a diplomatic service, and here I am by God's grace in charge of all these missionaries, and we're winning hundreds of thousands of people to Christ. 8 months later, this same pastor was back ministering in Sydney. And he asked the Baptist preacher there, he said, do you know this little man who witnesses and hands out tracts on George Street? And he said, I do. His name is Mr. Frank Jenner. But I don't think he does it anymore. He's too frail and elderly. So this preacher said, I want to go meet him. And so 2 nights later, they went to this little apartment. And here this tiny, frail, little man opened the door. He sat him down, made him some tea, and this London preacher told him of these accounts over the past 3 years. And this little man sat with tears running down his cheek. And he said, my story goes like this. I was on an Australian warship, and I lived a reprobate life. And in a crisis, I really hit the wall, and one of my colleagues led me to Jesus, and the change in my life was so amazing, and I was so grateful to God that I promised I would share Jesus in a simple witness with at least 10 people a day as God gave me strength. Sometimes I was sick and I couldn't do it, But I made up for it at other times, and I wasn't paranoid about it, but I have done this for over 40 years. And in my retirement years, the best place was on George Street. There were hundreds of people. In 40 years of doing this, I have never heard of one single person coming to Jesus until today. 2 weeks later, Mr. Jenner passed on to be with the Lord. You know, think about that. I'm sure that he's pretty famous in heaven. You know, this, to hear stories like that, God gives us things like that so we can see that the influence of just one simple gospel tract. And all this man did was ask, "Are you saved? Do you know if you're going to heaven?"
Yes.
That's all he did. Praise the Lord. You're going to heaven. That's great. You know, that's a great question to ask people. That's all he would do, and then just give them a track. And God used this man to lead, as you heard, all these many people to Christ, who are then in turn were leading thousands upon thousands to Christ. Isn't that amazing? That if we could just awake and just get back to doing what God's called us to do, think of what could happen. Think of the lives that could be changed. I mean, how could we do nothing thinking about the need around us? May we hear the cry of this shipmaster, "Awake, arise, O sleeper, and call upon thy God." Let's stand tonight as we close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the testimony of this Baptist preacher. And Lord, it's truly amazing. It almost seems like it's too good to be true. But Lord, we know that it's a true testimony. It's been verified. And Lord, we know that you are a God who loves the lost. And you're a God who will use just simple people that give out the gospel. And Lord, we're thankful for this story to encourage us. And Lord, and the story and your word, Lord, help us to awake. Help us to rise up. Help us to be intentional about people around us, to go and ask them about their soul, to be out there giving out gospel tracts and even inviting them to church. Lord, I pray that you would just burden our hearts, Lord, and help us to make a difference. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.